Well, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. You know, it has really been something. I must say that, you know, yesterday I awakened and, you know, I prayed and I think I might have did my exercises, but I'm not sure. But anyway, I started thinking of some scripture, and, you know, it was really something because all at once I realized that God was giving me scripture after scripture, and I began to realize, hey, I'm probably not going to have time to study tomorrow, so this is it. And, you know, I just marvel how the Lord does that. You know, life is so full of surprises, and I usually don't know just too much what's going to happen in one day. I mean, we might have sometimes plans that we anticipate, but I've seen God change things so many days. It's unreal. But yesterday was really interesting. It seemed like he gave me a lot of the morning to study, and then, you know, Jane needed a ride to Hartford, and we managed to do that. And that was interesting, too, because I know we got a text from Sam or Leah. I know while we were en route there, and it sounded like, you know, his machines were all acting up and everything else, and, you know, we know we're in this time crunch, and he's trying to get the newsletter ready, and, oh, we have all these other things that we're trying to do, and, you know, I started rebuking what was going on. You know, it just seems like we have to fight a lot these days. There's just all kinds of things that try to hinder us and get in the way and, you know, just bring us down if they could. But, you know, God has helped us so amazingly. And, you know, I just marvel because, you know, I did spend a good part of today, most, you know, all the morning, I think, reading the newsletter. And, you know, I just thank God, though, how he puts everything together. You know, I've really learned to turn my days over to the Lord. At least I trust I'm learning to how to do that. And, you know, I just see how he takes my time. And again, I don't always know what I'm going to be doing that day, but I see how the Lord, you know, brings about this and it brings about that, and sometimes I'll have this inclination to go here, to go there, and you know, I'll see how the Lord puts people in my path, and you know, it's quite a thing to learn to walk with the Lord and to see Him work in our lives, and again, I just marvel. Our God is wonderful, and you know, it's a wonderful thing to have our life in His hands. It's a wonderful thing to have the hope that we have in the Lord. We know that, you know, no matter what happens in this world, that our God has promised to be with us. And, you know, it's such a contrast to, you know, what's going on otherwise. And you know, I know Sam, he talked some about, you know, details on Sunday. And again, you know, the worries that those that see that this earth is dying all have, because it is dying. But praise the Lord, we've got the book, and we know that this earth is wearing out like an old garment. But praise the Lord, you know, we have hope, you know, and here are these scientists and men of wealth and those that know a bit, I suppose, maybe things they shouldn't know, but, you know, they're worried and trying to make plans so that, you know, they can escape this earth, you know, go colonize, you know, Mars and, you know, go to the moon again. That's a big thing in the making, they think. And here we are, you know. We know our Lord is coming. And yes, this earth is shaking. It's reeling. It's rocking. You know, it's full of pestilences and diseases and uncertainties. And we're having, you know, this time period, thank God for the sun right now. But, you know, we've had a lot of rain, and two-thirds of this country is underwater or has way too much water, just put it that way. And flooding is, you know, it's a reality and a potential in many areas. And, you know, all these things are upon this earth. But we have the Lord. We have Jesus. And we know that His promises are yea and amen. And we can rest in them. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, yes, you know, maybe 1 million different species are going to go extinct, as they're talking about. But, you know, honestly, it's all going to be over one of these days. Our Lord's coming. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. We know it. It's a fact. It's a reality in our lives. Oh, I'm just so thankful we have a Lord. Amen. And we can hold to His promises. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You've been with us. God, we thank You that we have Your Word and we have Your promises, God. And, oh, God, we know that Thy Word is true, Lord. Oh, God, even though, oh, God, this world would pass away, Your words will never pass away, Lord. And, God, You put them within our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, You've given us a desire to know Thy Word, Lord. And, oh, God, to hear Thy voice and to walk with You, Lord. I pray that You'd help us, God. I pray that You'd talk to us tonight. Pray that You would feed us, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You bring forth that manna that comes from heaven. Oh, Lord, that You would, oh, God, inspire us, that You'd bring us to that place with You, Lord. Oh, God, we need You, Jesus. We ask that You work out every detail here. I pray that You would talk to hearts here tonight. I pray, oh God, that You'd stir us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd lead us. I pray, oh God, that You'd help us to see and understand, oh God, to get into that place, oh Lord, oh God, where we're truly led by Thee, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we love You, Lord. We ask You to work here tonight. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You touch every heart, oh, Lord, that You move in us. I pray that You change us, Lord. I pray that You talk to that one who has not yet yielded his or her heart to Thee, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, God, that we might be prepared for that day, oh, God. Oh, Lord, that our hearts might be made ready, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You, God. And I pray that You use this word, that You give me words. Oh, God, I know I could do nothing without You. Pray, oh, God, that You'd move, Lord, that Your Spirit would come upon us, Lord. Pray that You'd move, Lord Jesus, that Your presence would come down. Oh, God, I pray that You touch us in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, give us, oh, Lord, that faith that we need to walk with You and to go forward. I ask this in Jesus' name. Oh, God, by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. He is good. Amen. He is good. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I got that verse in my mind there from Habakkuk. You know, no matter what's going on in this world, and you know, I believe it's talking about that time when, you know, that man of sin, that Antichrist, is having, you know, his heyday, so to speak. But, oh, in spite of that, the just shall live by his faith. Oh, praise the Lord. Faith is going to take us through this world, you know. Without faith, well, we can't possibly please God. But, oh, if we could just hold on to faith. And, wow, you know, I think of this quite often. I see these times that we're living in, and if we ever needed faith, we need faith now. I see how our faith is being tried and tested. And you know, it's so easy to, you know, think another way sometimes. But, oh, my, you know, the Lord has not changed. And what He has done in the past, He can do in the present. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, praise our God, because the just shall live by His faith. Amen. And praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to, well, several places here to begin, but we could title this message, Be Therefore Ready. Be Therefore Ready. Praise the Lord. We know that the Scripture is full of prophetic utterances. And, you know, I see it throughout the Old Testament. You know, some of these verses pertain to Jesus' first coming. And there's a lot of Scripture that pertains to His second return. You know, it's all over in God's Word. And we know that Jesus, before He ascended into the heavens, He told His followers that He was going to come again. Yes, amen. That was one thing that we can be assured of. And, you know, it tells us, if we just turn here to John, the 14th chapter, for just a little bit here. Here, as Jesus is speaking, and these are some of His words, His discourse there is, you know, one of His final discourses before Calvary. Or it is all a part of it, that which He uttered as, you know, after the Passover and all of that. But He says in John, the 14th chapter, this beautiful portion of Scripture, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, praise the Lord. How this must have been. You know, He had just, you know, told them, you know, some of the events that were soon to follow there after that last Passover. And you know, they really didn't get it. You know, it was too hard. I think it was just too painful to even begin to comprehend that He was going to die. But here, He's trying to comfort them. And these beautiful words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. And in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And then these words, "I go to prepare a place for you." Praise the Lord. Yes, His stay here on this earth was short. But you know, the fact was, He was going to come back. And here He's His promise. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So praise the Lord, it all followed. Yes, He was going to leave, but He's going to come back. He's going to receive His children unto Himself. And you know, obviously putting us in a situation where there be no goodbyes at all. "That where I am, there ye may be also." Praise the Lord. "And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." But the wonderful promises of God. And of course, after He ascended there, you know, as those that were with Him watched Him go up into the sky and be received by the clouds, so to speak. Can you imagine how that must have felt? But it tells us in Acts, the first chapter, oh yes, in verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." Praise the Lord. So there again, they watched Him go. But again, oh yes, those angels, yes, speak these words of great comfort to them, you know, telling them, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." Again, that promise is affirmed. Praise the Lord, the fact that He is coming back again to receive His children. Oh, yes. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's also now turn to 1 Thessalonians here. The very first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to be reading verses 9 and 10 here in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, praise the Lord, as he began this epistle to the church at Thessalonica. You know, it was a wonderful thing here. They had received Paul as a messenger of the Lord. And praise the Lord, they had turned to God from other pagan customs, other heathen ways. You know, they were Gentiles. They didn't know the Lord. But when they heard the gospel, when they heard the truth, tells us here how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And besides, and to wait for his Son from heaven. Oh, yes, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, praise the Lord, how reassuring, how wonderful that is. Yes, we too have turned from our traditions and our wayward ways. Oh, yes, and we too have found the living God. Praise the Lord. And now, yes, having obeyed the gospel, now we wait for the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, he who was raised from the dead, praise the Lord, to return to this earth. Oh, yes, the one who has delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, yes, that wrath that will be poured out without measure. And, you know, if you're wondering about this wrath, it tells us in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, a little bit about this wrath. I'll just read a little bit here, so in case there's any questions here. It tells us in verse 7 here, 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Oh, praise the Lord. But, you know, that is the wrath that will be poured out. Oh, yes, here we see this little glimpse of Jesus being revealed from heaven when he comes back again with his angels, with his mighty angels. But as we know, he came the first time to save us from our sins. Oh, yes, he is coming again. This time he is coming to judge this world in righteousness. And here's a description of what will follow: in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, everlasting punishment that he's talking about. Alienation from the presence of God. Everlasting destruction. Destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Oh, I'll tell you what, talk about darkness. Talk about a horrible thing. You know, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to go before the Lord. Oh, to rest in him. Oh, yes, to take our burdens to the Lord. To know the Lord Jesus. And if you really know him, you can't imagine how horrible it would be to live without him. You know, you think about that sometime, those that don't know the Lord, and think, oh, you know, it's such a privilege for us. You know, we take our burdens to the Lord, our cares. We rest in his promises. You know, we call out to him. We know that, you know, he's our bread when we're hungry, our water when we're thirsty. You know, there's nothing that he can't do. He knows how to supply all our needs. But there are those I know that don't yet know him. And here is the end of the story. I pray that there will be many yet that turn to the living God. Because, yes, when he comes again, he's coming to judge, and you know there's going to be this punishment, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. No more time. No more moments to get right. No more moments to seek the Lord and turn from one's evil ways. Oh, how we need to do it right now. Yes, to make haste. To get right with God right now. Oh, yes, while there is yet just a little time, because time is running out. As it tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, chapter verse 1 and 2, we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, yes, you know, it behooves us to get right with the Lord now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If we wait too long, we could never get there, possibly. We could never get to that place where we can call out to the Lord. We may end up standing before Him without obeying the gospel, having turned our lives over to Him and all repented of our sins and been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But praise the Lord, we still have a little time. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And you know, it's all in our hearts. You know, if we just look over at the chapter before, it's on my same page in my Bible. If we look at verse 9 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, where it says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, that's present or absent with the Lord, we may be accepted of Him. Oh, that's the thing in our heart. That's why we gather together. That's why we give heed to the Word of God. You know, this is all for our admonition. This is for our instructions, that when we stand before God, we might be accepted of Him. That, you know, there would be nothing in our heart that would keep us from the presence of the Lord. For it tells us in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Yes, that day of accounting is upon us. It's coming forth. You know, there's no exclusions from this moment, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In verse 11, oh, what a declaration here. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade man, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Oh, yes, we know that day of God's wrath is forthcoming. And we know, yes, the terror of the Lord. Oh, by His grace, we persuade man. Oh, yes, because it's all going to be clear. It's all going to be manifest unto God. And I hope, as Paul was saying, I trust it will be manifest in your consciences. In other words, I hope it will be clear. I hope it will be revealed in your minds too. But here we are, yes, that day of salvation. Oh, that accounting day. That day when Jesus Christ will return is certainly coming to pass. It's certainly close at hand. It tells us in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I'll tell you two little short verses here, but you know it's very clear. I mean, there may be some of you that are listening to this someday, or maybe at the moment that might think, oh, well, I'll be reincarnated, and I'll be able to come back, and you know, and maybe have a second chance. But it's not so. That's a lie from the devil. Because it is appointed. There is an appointment that we all have. Once to die. Once to die. There is no second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance. It's, you know, we live this life once. And oh, how it behooves us, the things that we do. We want to do it for the Lord. We want to make our time count. It's going to end. We don't know when our life is going to be over. Yes. We have that appointment. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, all at once, yes, standing before the judgment seat of Christ that we read about there in 2 Corinthians 6 chapter. So Christ was once offered. Oh, we don't, you know, it didn't happen, have to happen a second, third, fourth, you know, a thousandth time. Not at all. He was only offered once. That took care of it. It was sufficient. It was adequate. It was fully adequate. He was once offered to bear the sins of many. Oh, praise the Lord, what He did for us on that cross of Calvary when He took our sins upon Himself. Oh, yes. So that we could be forgiven our trespasses. Oh, yes, so that we could come to Him and turn to Him, the living God, and turn away from our past, turn away from our sins, all the abominable, horrendous things that we did. Oh, praise the Lord. He bore our sins on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so we didn't have to carry that weight of sin, you know, for the rest of our days and into eternity. And then it says, and unto them that look for Him. Oh, yes, His people are looking for Him. The early church was looking for Him. And all those that have followed through the ages have been looking for Him. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. See, praise the Lord, He made a way that we didn't have to live in our sins and trespasses, that dead condition that we were in. He made a way that we could know the living God and be forgiven those horrendous things that we once did. Oh, yes, so we could stand before Him without sin unto salvation. Oh, praise our God. Praise the Lord, the one who has made a way for us. And how it is as we live this life, this short life. And, you know, I don't, oh man, I say it so often. I think it's so often how fast the time is going, how quickly the months just disappear and vaporize, it seems like, practically in front of us. One of these days it will be over. Amen. And it will be a counting time. Let's now go to the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Praise the Lord. And here in Luke 12, I'm going to start with verse 35. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 35, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately." Oh, yes, here we are admonished of the need to have our loins girded about. And, you know, I know it tells us there in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, to have our loins girded about with truth. I believe we want to be covered with the Word of God, with the truth that He has spoken, that He has declared, that has been written in the Scripture. and it says your light's burning. Oh, how we need to have the light of His Spirit burning deep within our hearts. I think we all are familiar with the story of the 10 virgins there in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And we know that they were all virgins there, all 10 of them. It seems that they must have all known the Lord. And they were all called to the wedding feast. And yet, you know, 5 of them took extra oil and 5 of them did not. They all had lamps, and initially they all had oil. But the sad thing is that half of them didn't have enough oil to get through the whole process. They didn't know when the bridegroom was going to call. They didn't know that moment when they would have to be prepared and ready and set to go. And they all slumbered. They all slept because, yeah, you know, there was a moment, several moments of waiting for that event. And all at once we know that cry came forth and they all arose and all prepared, they thought, to go forth into the wedding. They all had been invited. But the sad thing was when they arose, half of them realized they no longer had oil in their lamps. Their lamps had gone out. They no longer had oil. Oh, how it beseeches us to all have oil in our lamps. The oil that is represented by the Holy Ghost. How we need to have the Spirit of the Lord deep within our hearts. And to have extra oil. Oh, yes, you know, we always need more. Every day is another day to be refilled with His Spirit. It's another day to draw nigh to God. It's another day to give to the living God, to turn it over. We've got to keep oil in our lamps. We know the sad truth of that story with the 10 virgins, that those that didn't have oil had to go to the store, so to speak, and get more. And by the time they returned, it was too late. The door was shut. They no longer had opportunity. And so it is tonight. We can't put off getting right with the Lord. We can't put off the things that are spiritual. Today is accepted time. Oh, this is the day of salvation. You can't think that it's going to happen tomorrow or down the road next week or, you know, 2 years from now or whatever all. We don't know that we'll have those extra moments. No, it's so important now to be ready, to have our lamps trimmed, to have our lamps burning, to keep that oil there aplenty. I know Jesus told those 5 virgins that He didn't know them not there or as the bridegroom there in the parable. And He said in verse 13 of Matthew 25, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We don't know, but oh, how necessary it is to be ready. And here in Luke, the 12th chapter, again, verse 35, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning." Oh, there's some things that you can't put off. Oh, there's some things that must be taken care of now. Oh, praise the Lord, you know, there's room. Oh, at the altar, so to speak, to find the living God. Oh, there's a little time right now where we can find God, where we can turn to Him, where we can seek the Lord while it is yet day. And prepare our hearts. Oh, yes, because that moment is coming. Oh, yes, when it will be too late. And we are to be, as it tells us in verse 36 in this chapter in Luke, like unto men that wait for their Lord. Oh, yes, you know, we're here tonight to help us to get ready, you know, to think upon God's Word. It's another moment, it's another occasion to get right with God, to, you know, again, make sure that our lamps are trimmed and burning. Oh, yes, that, you know, all is right with the Lord. So we want to be like unto men that wait for the Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. See, that's the way we need to live every day. Oh, you know, He may come, you know, tonight. He may come tomorrow. We don't know the moment of His return, but it needs to be incumbent upon us that we would be ready, that we would be prepared, not knowing the moment, but waiting for the moment, and knowing that it will happen, knowing that it will come to pass, so that when He does come, oh, we don't have to go hide someplace. Oh, Lord, I'm not ready. Oh, dear Lord, I, you know, there's all the dust under the table, Lord. In other words, all these things in my heart that I had not cleaned out, not allowed the Lord to clean out. He's going to come. He's going to knock at the door of our heart. Oh, and we want to be prepared so we can open up immediately. He said in verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Oh, it's going to be a joyful occasion for those that are right in the sight of the Lord, those that are watching and waiting and have their lamps trimmed and burning. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful occasion. And it says in verse 38, "And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants." Oh, praise the Lord, we don't know what watch He's going to come in. All we know that is that He is coming, this same Jesus, that they watch go into the heavens. He's so going to return in like manner. He's coming back. Oh, yes, and we know that of a surety. We know that it will happen. He tells us in verse 39, "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered in his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not." And those that were listening, Peter in particular, it says in verse 41, "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all?" Does this relate to us? Or, you know, is this just in general, Lord? And he explained in verse 42, "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." Oh, I'll tell you what. We want to be going about our Father's will when He comes. We want to be doing the things that are needful. We want to be doing the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Oh, nothing else is going to matter. It's all going to be so insignificant. All these other little trivials that sometimes devour our time and, you know, make such a mess of us. Oh, what does it really matter? What matters are we doing? The will of our Father, which is in heaven. That's all that's going to matter when He comes. He wants to find us engaged in His work, engaged in His ministry, engaged in the service that He has called us to do. So so that, yes, we can open up that door immediately, that we can be fully prepared. We don't have to be ashamed and embarrassed, try to run away and try to hide and all those kind of things because we're not ready, we're not right. Oh, there's stuff in our heart. Oh, it's so important to be ready. You know, this is no time to be lukewarm. This is no time to be cold. Oh, this is a time to be fervent in spirit. This is a time to go out and do it. The things that He's asked us to do. It's time to lay aside every weight and all the sin that they're so easily beset us. To run with patience the race that He has set before us. Oh, praise the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, praise the Lord, it's time to forget all the trivia. Oh, yes, it's time to have faith and believe I can do it with the help of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Oh, praise the Lord, we want to be found right. Oh, yes, we want our hearts to have no blemishes, no spots, no marks that, you know, would separate us from God. So we want to be, yes, that faithful, that wise steward, going about doing our Father's work. When He comes, oh, yes, oh, to be right in His sight, to be busy in the field, engaged in His work. But it says in verse 45, "But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." Oh, this is pathetic. You know, people that really had knowledge, people that knew better, but, you know, it came to them after a while. Oh, well, this is kind of hard. You know, he hasn't come. You know, we've been talking about this a long time. And, you know, I think it's really something, too, because it does seem like, you know, when I was a girl, you know, raised in the church, and, you know, we talked hugely about the Lord's coming. It just seems like it was a very common topic. I wasn't even sure I was going to graduate from high school, to tell you the truth, because, you know, it was in my heart. I get it again. The Lord's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. One of these days He's coming. I didn't know. And you didn't know. None of us know. But, you know, we don't want to slack off because, you know, He didn't come 10 years ago when we were looking, you know. Oh, we tried it for a while, but, you know, He didn't come, so, you know, we thought we had a little time. We could slack off, you know. We could get a little careless now. We could have a little fun and, you know, go do this and go do that, have a party now and then, you know, go drink some booze, go to the tavern, you know, go partake in that dance and whatever, all, you know, all these things that people do. I'll tell you what, if you're not watching for the Lord to come, He's going to come in a day when you're not looking for Him. You're not going to be ready. It's going to be an hour when you're not aware. And I'll tell you what, no one wants to be in that boat. Oh no, because it says He will cut him in sunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. It's not, you know, it's not going to matter. Hey, I found the Lord 20 years ago, and, yeah, I made a decision for the Lord, you know. I maybe even was baptized, you know. You know, some people may have even received the Holy Ghost, and, you know, but you don't let that lamp, you know, go black, you know, forgot to make sure there's oil in the lamp, you know, kind of forgot about the things of the Lord, you know, decided, yeah, I don't need to go to church, you know, I can study at home, you know, I'll read my Bible, you know, and probably thought they're going to read it every day and end up reading it twice a year. I don't know. But I tell you what, it's We have no time for sloppy, careless living. Oh, when it comes to the things of the Lord, we need to give it our best. We need to be diligent. Oh, we need to be careful. You know, there's no time to let these things slip and slide and let them go. Oh, no! It's the day of salvation. Well, all we know is He's coming back. He's going to come. And if we're not ready, if we're not watching, if we're not looking for Him, He's going to come in an hour when we're not thinking about it, when we're not aware, you know, when we, you know, our mind is someplace else, we're doing something else, you know, and then, oh my, it's not going to be good. And two more verses here, this chapter, verse 47, it says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." Oh, I'll tell you what, that's, you know, and you see the fairness of our God too, because it's one thing if you've heard it, you know, and you've been witness to it, and maybe you lived it a while, but you know, you didn't continue. And here's talking about somebody that didn't prepare at all, didn't prepare and didn't do according to the will of God. Oh my, there's going to be punishment, yes. Severe punishment, I will say. And then it tells us in verse 48, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." And again, I see the fairness of the Lord, because, you know, there are people that have not had this privilege of sitting here and opening up the Scripture. There's people that truly had very little knowledge. But this verse tells me that they will be judged with fairness and accordingly. Praise the Lord, that's our righteous God. But oh my, if we've known, if we've heard, oh yes, if we've even believed, we have to be diligent. Oh yes, that our loins would be girded about and our lives burning. Oh, praise the Lord, how we need the Lord. Oh, that day of His coming is at hand. And there's so many places I could go, but let's just turn to Jeremiah for just a little bit here. Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. Praise our Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be starting with verse 30 here in Jeremiah 25. Praise our Lord. It says in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 30, "Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, The Lord shall roar from on high, and utter His voice from His holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon His habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground." Well, I'll tell you what, these scriptures here are talking about the great day, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, and, you know, we know, yes, it tells us in First Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Oh no, no secret rapture, no quiet event. Oh, has this description here in Jeremiah 25, the Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Oh, I'll tell you, it's going to be a noise, it's going to be a shout that everyone hears. A noise shall come, even to the ends of the earth. You know, there's going to be no escape from this shout. Oh, yes, of the Lord. Oh, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's it. That's it. That shout. Oh, yes, that voice of the archangel, that trump of the Lord. Listen, there's going to be no escape. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, if we're watching, if we're waiting, if we've got oil in our lamps, oh, yes, if we're ready, if we're doing our Father's will, what a joyful occasion as we're caught up together with them in the clouds. Oh, praise the Lord, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise our God, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, yes, that great day of the Lord is incumbent upon us. It's coming forth. It's going to be soon. I do believe as we see all the signs, all the reason that, you know, our Lord is going to come forth. You know, Joel, the 3rd chapter, minor prophet here, that tells so much the same thing. If we just read a few verses here from the book of Joel, Joel chapter 3. Oh, praise the Lord. It says in verse 11, Joel chapter 3. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Oh, yes, they're all going to gather together. That second verse here in Joel chapter 3 explains that. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Oh, the Lord is going to cause this gathering together of those that do not worship the Lord and fear the Lord and serve the Lord. And here it is, verse 11, assemble yourselves. God is calling them together. And come, all ye heathen, gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Oh, it's come to that point. Oh, yes, where that cup of his wrath is all full to the brim. It's running over. Oh, yes, and it's time. The press is full, the fats overflow, the wickedness is great. Oh, the hour has come. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Oh, it tells us in verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And praise the Lord as all of this is coming upon the face of the earth. It tells us in verse 16, oh my, The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord, the final time, oh, the final moment, the great day of the Lord. He comes, oh, yes, out of his habitation, out of Zion, his holy habitation there in the sides of the north, as he comes down and he utters his voice from Jerusalem. Oh, yes, that shout. Oh, yes, that declaration, that roar that comes out of Zion. Oh, yes, oh, the trembling of the sun and the moons darken the stars, withdrawing their shining, the earth shaking, all these things happening. But praise the Lord, oh, there's going to be a people that have kept their faith, a people that are waiting for the Lord, oh, yes. The just who live by their faith. Oh, praise the Lord. The people that are waiting for the coming of the Lord, for his second appearing. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord will be the hope of his people. Yes, you know the Lord, the one that we've waited for, oh, will come and save us. Praise the Lord. Oh, we have hope in the Lord. As we see all these things coming to pass, oh, we know this day of redemption draws nigh. But it will come. He will come and not tarry. Oh, it's going to come. Describes it also in Psalms, the 50th chapter, verses 1 through 6. This is a Psalm of Asaph. It tells us, says, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Oh, you know, this is, when he comes, you know, it's not going to be a coincidence. You know, it's all, you know, God knows this is a point in time, you know, and he's bringing it forth. It's his gathering together of his people. He's coming forth to judge this world. And here it is, the mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. Oh, here he comes, out of Zion. The perfection of beauty God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Oh, yes, he's going to gather all his elect together, those that are in heaven and those that are on earth. Oh, yes, it's going to be that great day of the Lord. He's going to call from the heavens, from above, and to the earth. He's going to gather his people, that he may judge his people. It says in verse 5, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, oh, our whole life. We want to give it to the Lord as a living sacrifice. We want it to be holy, acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. We want to be doing his will. We've made a covenant with him. We purposed in our heart that we are going to serve him and him only, and have no other gods before us. We have made a covenant with God by sacrifice. And it tells us in verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. Oh, yes, the righteousness of our God. For God is judge himself. Selah. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. He is coming forth. Oh, he's coming to judge this world in his righteousness. And what a day that will be when we see Jesus. Oh, what a day. But we have great need that we would be ready. We don't want to miss this event. Oh, we don't want some careless circumstance to intervene in our life. and trip us up and cause us to forget the things that are needful, to get careless in our walk with the Lord. It tells us, going back to Jeremiah 25 for just a few verses here. Again, verse 31, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Oh, my. Not a pretty picture. Here it is, it's a judgment of the whole earth from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. You know, that great roar from on high, that voice that cries forth, announcing His coming forth. That cry, that shout, that voice of the archangel, the trump of God, all of it, yes, that declaration that our God has come. Our God has returned. It's going to be a wonderful day for those that are walking with the Lord. Those that have oil in their lamps. That are girt about with truth. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a joyful location for His people. But unto those that, have not yielded their hearts, not have turned their hearts over, what a horrendous end. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. There's descriptions in the book of Revelation for this moment. It talks about that day in the 19th chapter of Revelation. Verse 11, Revelation 19, verse 11, it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. His people have made themselves ready. The bride hath made herself ready. And here it is. It tells us in verse 7 of this chapter, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. This time on earth is a time of getting ready for this moment when he shall appear, when he shall come. When he comes forth on that white horse. He that is faithful and true. To judge this world in righteousness. There's going to be no escape. And out of his mouth, verse 15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress to the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. All these descriptions that we read here in Jeremiah, this is descriptions in the book of Joel, the description in the book of Psalms, and all over in God's Word. Here it is, the slain of the Lord. In that day, you know, they gathered from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. Not lamented, neither gathered, neither buried, but as dung upon the ground. And hear this description in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. Oh, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great King, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Oh, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. He's gathered them together there. They're going to attempt to make war with God and his people. But, oh, not going to work, is it? And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Oh, not a pretty description at all. But how important it is to be right with God. Oh, yes, to have our lamps trimmed and burning. Oh, yes, to not have neglected the things that matter the most. Oh, to make sure that our calling and election is sure to do the things that are needful. For as it tells us here in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, oh, we know that those that heed not, that fear not God, are scoffing at such a thought. Oh, yes, how they live in fear. They're trying to do all their kind of things to redeem this earth, you know, or to find a way to escape it, to, you know, make some kind of other provision so they can survive. But there's going to be no way that you can outsmart our God. Oh, it tells us here in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Oh, yes. Oh, Noah was wise to prepare that ark, wasn't he? He was able to escape because he obeyed God. He feared God. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Praise the Lord, and he was spared. But that world perished otherwise. Those that mocked, those that scoffed, those that didn't listen, they perished. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Oh, yes, this world has an appointment. It has an appointment. Oh, it's a reserved unto fire, that day of God's wrath, the day of His coming, the day of His return is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It says in verse 8 here, 2 Peter 3, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Oh, it's like, you know, He walked the shores of Galilee 2 days ago. And then it tells us in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But praise the Lord, nevertheless we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." And let me end with this 14th verse. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blemish." Oh, praise the Lord, that day of redemption draweth nigh. It will come. He will come and not tarry. Oh, I'm sure it will come to pass. We don't know the day. We don't know the hours. But we are to be like those servants that are going about doing the will of their Father, the will of their Master, so that when He cometh, when He returns, they can open unto Him immediately. Oh, yes, they are about doing the will of their Master, of their Savior, of our Lord. Yes, praise the Lord, and that's how we want to be. So that, oh, when this moment comes forth, that we would be diligently found in Him in peace. Praise the Lord, in peace, no blemishes, no spots, nothing to worry about. We can open up immediately unto Him. Oh, yes, because, oh, our hearts have been made pure, they've been made right, we've been walking with Him. We've got oil in our lamps, we're doing our Father's will. Praise the Lord, so we can be found of Him in peace. Oh, praise the Lord, without spot and blemish. Oh, praise the Lord, that's our heart's desire. That's what we are looking for. That's why we're living. We're living, oh yes, to get right, to live right. Oh God, help us, Lord, so that we might be ready for the great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh yes, be it therefore ready. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour. But He is coming, and He will come and not tarry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Talk to our hearts. Strengthen us. Oh, God, help us. Oh, Lord, give us, oh, Lord, that desperate need to be fulfilled, Lord Jesus, that we would be right with Thee, that we would be walking with Thee. Oh, God, that there would be nothing, oh, Lord, that would keep us, oh, Lord, from standing before Thee, oh, Lord, pure and holy and waiting for Thee, Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, lamps trimmed and burning. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Be it therefore ready. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise Thy holy name, Lord. We do worship You, Lord. We do praise Thee. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Oh, we love You, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We love You, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We're going to open our chorus books in closing to number 85 and sing Give Me Oil in My Lamp. Number 85. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.